Good evening and welcome to the special meeting of the Board of Directors of the Town of Discovery Bay. I'd like to call the special meeting order. Roll call, please.
President Steele?
Here.
Vice President Pease?
Here.
Director Graves? Director Lee?
Here.
Director Simon?
Here.
Graves is absent.
Okay, thank you very much. At this time, we'll open public comment. The public may come on any item on the agenda that is before the board for consideration. Any person wishing to speak, speak from the podium. Any public comment? Any public comment, close public comment. At this time, I'll turn it over to council.
Town of Discovery Bay Board of Directors will adjourn in a closed session as identified on the agenda under item D1 and D2. Town of Discovery Bay, thank you. Town of Discovery Bay Board of Directors is reconvening from closed session and has no reportable action.
Thank you. At this time, we'll close the special meeting. All right. Good evening and welcome to the regular meeting of the Board of Directors of the Town of Discovery Bay. If you all rise with me for the pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
President Steele?
Here.
Vice President Pease?
Here.
Director Graves?
Here.
Director Lee?
Here.
Director Simon?
Here.
Thank you very much. At this time, we'll have public comments. Individual public comments will be limited to a 3-minute time limit. During the public comments, the public may address the board on any issue within the district's jurisdiction, which is not on the agenda. The public may comment on any item on the agenda at the time the item is before the board for consideration. Any person wishing to speak must come up and speak from the podium. There will be no dialogue between the board and the commenter. Any clarifying questions from the board must go through the chair. Are there any public comment? I will close public comment and move on to item C, area agencies, reports, and presentations. Sheriff's Office, please.
Good evening, everyone.
How are you?
As you can see from the paperwork I handed out to you guys, so we had 395 calls for service last month with approximately 49 reports taken. Skimming through here, looking at everything here, as I kind of predicted, a lot of property crimes, a lot of vehicle burglaries. We had two that the windows were smashed in and items were taken out for the lines. And we had probably 4 to 5 different ones regarding just unlocked vehicles or they just opened and got in there and took stuff out of the vehicle. We even had one in plain daylight, about a 4-hour period. Gentleman parked his car, his truck with some tools in it, out in front of the street. Went in to do some work in the house, came out about 4 or 5 hours later, tools in it, and that was people were coming in Discovery Bay at night. People were going to the mailbox. People were walking the street. People were taking out and taking whatever they can get. I know it sounds like a broken record. I said it for the last 6-7 months. I'm going to have a little bit come up. He wants to say a few words about some stuff coming up. Are you going to touch base with some of the health stuff?
I'll let you, but don't steal your time.
My problem. Our officers have been actively looking at that. They've been working on graveyard shift, running slaves, protecting vehicles. I'm happy to say we at least had 3 separate instances, probably 7 people involved. Some were 3 people in the car, some were 2, and I think one was 4. But we've had these individuals, a suspicious vehicle, trip the plate, they come out of the area. Simple traffic violation, we pulled over. One of the incidents, the guy tried to run. The other two, we were able to make contact with the person in the car. The other two were out of the car. In short case, just tons of mail in the vehicle. Tons of mail in the vehicle. Bags of mail. And it's almost funny, and I don't want to say that because it's not funny. One of the incidents, you can follow the car and you know what street they've been in. They have a system for it. We had a female driver. The two guys on the outside, she's driving down the street. then to her hit mailboxes, throwing them to her. She's out there zipping through the mail, throwing all the third-class mail out the window. It's a trail now. So, I mean, you just literally follow it. You have pictures on the report. It's ridiculous. People, I can't stress it enough, they're coming into this community and they're just taking, it's easy pickings out here. And they're coming from Hayward, San Pablo, Stockton, and the reason I know that is because some of the vehicle breaks that we've had are the petty theft and vehicles. Their cars have been accessed to try to get gas or something in those cities. So at least they're driving through that direction or they're from that area. So please, it's the holidays. I can only think it's going to get worse, especially with the mail package delivery system. Leaving mail packages in the front door. I'm waiting for those reports to start coming in. Our guys know about it, and they've been driving and doing the best they can, but we can't catch everyone. But we're doing what we can. And with that, I'll turn it over, unless there's particular questions you guys might have.
I just have a question. Have we spoken to the Postal Service?
Carriers
to kind of keep it, let them know what's going on, but they hang out with
us. Right, and I was in touch with Fraser's office. I mean, I understand we're not here. That was one of my requests that I asked him. I asked somebody from the Postal Inspector Service over here for this event. Because that's, and I let them know at that time, this is what we're getting.
Maybe if you just even went over their office.
To the Postmaster General.
Yeah, just tell him about it, and let his carriers kind of keep an eye on looking.
And that's what I would love. Yeah. The trouble with that, and I can't, well, I shouldn't even say because I can't speak to the post office, but no carriers are busy enough with what they're doing and for them to stop and look at everything.
Well, I mean, driving down the street to look for a car fault.
Yeah, I hear you. Same thing with FedEx and UPS, too. Mm-hmm. But what I'll do is I'll swing by tomorrow and I'll try to talk to the Postmaster General, at least get him in case he doesn't know. But I know our officers made contact with the post office because we also found we found one of those mailboxes with ash on the ground and dumped out there. So that's the first that I see.
Shows ID, like
those big security boxes they have like 100 boxes. Anyway, what I'll do tomorrow is I'm going to make sure I make a stop at the post office. Make sure he's aware of it and see if they're investigating and can't start maybe doing something like that. With that, I'm going to turn over to Lieutenant Eastman. He wants to get you caught up.
Thanks, sir. A couple of tips for the mail. I would suggest don't leave it in the box any longer than you have to. Get it out. And if you're going to send checks, take them directly to the post office. I mean, that's what I know, put anything in the mailbox. I don't want to take up a lot of time, just a couple quick things. Our regular community service officer, Daniel Jordan, is on a temporary assignment for 6 weeks. So we have a new one for the next 6 weeks, Edgar. I'll let him pronounce his last name.
Aramburo.
Call you Edgar.
And also, the sheriff's office has a brand new canine handler, and we are lucky enough to have him assigned out here on the weekends. So that's going to be good for many reasons, for enforcement, for demonstrations, goes to the school and everything. So that's coming up as soon as it finishes. But he's also on a temporary assignment that will fill a gap. So he'll be out here on the weekends, and we're looking forward to that.
Yep. Right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming out. Excuse me, fire, please.
Evening, Ward. You under some of these kind of gust fire. Total calls for the district in November were a total of 563. In the Discovery Bay Byron area, there were 74 calls. The average response time in this area was 9 minutes and 58 seconds. Our engines did a total rollout for the month of 714 calls. 126 of those, or 18% of those calls, was handled by Engine 59 at the Big Foot. We continue to use auto aid resources across the board. We requested Contra Costa Fire 14 times with 21 engines per month. Since we made the changes in auto aid, we did assist them 22 times. So we've kind of balanced that out a little bit. But, you know, I think the big number there that's still interesting is, you know, that we've had to call 359 times for assistance so far in the first 11 months of the year. So you know, that's at least an average of once a day for the year that we're having to call for help, that we've had many resources. Last Wednesday was probably a good example of where we go from call to call to call, and there are zero resources. There was a reported auto accident right at Ford and Junction at Fire and Highway and J4 there. Both the Discovery Bay engine and the Brunwick engine were unavailable, so the nearest engine to respond to that was coming all the way from Oakley. They got canceled by the ambulance right as they were at Marsh Creek and Highway 4, and then got dispatched back to Oakley for a CPR call. We did use mutual aid from Antioch to get a closer resource to handle that CPR call, but that's the nature of us moving across district. Again, on Monday night, we saw the same thing where there were multiple single engine responses going on at the same time with no resources across the district. Again, once the operational report for the month is, I'll make sure it gets forwarded to you guys out here, and it'll go to the board at our next board meeting, which is Monday night. The final report from the task force and the resolutions have been approved by all three entities as far as moving forward with the task force recommendations, which the short-term fix in that is putting some money on the table to get a force station open. With the board approving, if the board, and I don't see a reason why they won't be approving that on Monday night, then we will start the recruitment process and try to get that force station open. We'll need to hire 7 firefighters before we can open the force station. So we're probably looking at between 4 and 5 months to get that whole process done by the time we get them trained and have that engine open. So there is a little bit of light in the tunnel as we go through this, but it's definitely going to be a busy winter. I mean, we're going to just change from one season to the other. A little bit of rain's been nice, but now we're starting to see everybody starting to use their fireplaces for the first time, and now the chimney fires and stuff are going there. As a reminder, as always, you know, you need to clean the chimneys every year. Please don't use candles, leave them unattended, and keep the batteries in your smoke detectors. With that, I'm going to hold for your questions.
Q, for clarification, if the board does, if the ECCFPD board of directors does approve the task force recommendation, that's an extremely short-term fix. It's a 18-month, maybe 17, 16-month fix?
About an 18-month fix.
Okay.
By the time we get it staffed open, it's probably really a 13 or 14-month fix.
But so that doesn't play out? The time it takes to open it doesn't extend out the time we can
get it open? It does not. It's all part of it. So because once we hire the folks and start trying to train them,
understood.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Supervisor Mary Peterson's office.
Hello, good evening, everybody. I wanted to update you in regards to Discovery Bay Shopping Center. Our office, as well as code enforcement, has received some complaints in regards to the electronic signs that some of the store owners are having in their windows. So code enforcement has gone out to visit those store owners, let them know that they are not allowed to have those signs there. The shopping center owner has also been contacted, and a notice to comply has been mailed out. So we'll continue to keep you posted on that note. And then just a reminder that we are accepting donations for the food bank through the end of the month. And again, I know I said this at the last meeting, but it is a competition between Contra Costa County and Solano County, which county can raise the most funds. And Contra Costa raised the most last year. And it's also a competition between the Board of Supervisors. And Supervisor Pico's office won last year. So we'd like to keep that happening again this year. So my lovely assistants also brought our bags here. $5 each or $5 or $25. So if you guys want a reusable bag, let us know before night is over. They're really
good.
They're actually very roomy. They said a lot of stuff. And then the last item of reminder is Supervisor Pico's holiday open house. It will be Monday, December 14th at our office on Walnut Boulevard, and it's from 4 to 6, so we would love to see you there. Any questions for me? Well, for those of you that I may not see before the end of the year, happy holidays, enjoy.
Thank you. Okay, moving on here, committees reports. Anything, Rick, on committees reports? That was it?
Bob and I attended the code enforcement. Go ahead, Bob.
We went to the code enforcement meeting on the 19th. The only issue brought up with regard to discovery day or seems to be the end of the season. Our folks seem to be parked on the street and driveways. Code enforcement start working on that.
It's disgusting.
And some vehicles left unattended for quite some time on the roads. That will brought to their attention as well. Thank you very much, Jeff. Any presentations?
None this evening.
Thank you. We'll move on to the consent calendar.
Make motion.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Unanimous. Moving on to item G, business and action items. Item one, Byron Bethany Irrigation District Boundary Overlap. I'll turn it over to General Manager, please.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. As you are aware, the Byron Bethany Irrigation District is a neighboring water irrigation district in Contra Costa, Alameda, as well as San Joaquin counties. Historically, they provided water service to portions of Discovery Bay, six different tax rate areas located in Discovery Bay. They still continue to receive tax dollars from those six tax rate areas in Discovery Bay, and the overlap is on the map that's up above you, photograph on the board above you. BBID is in the position that they would be able to provide us with the supplemental water source if that water was ever deemed to be necessary. Last week at the, or a couple weeks ago, the supervisor, PIPO, Supervisor PIPO conducted a meeting on, I believe it was November the 12th at her office, that included myself, General Manager Rick Gilmore from BBID, members of the Supervisor's Office. Director Graves was in attendance at that meeting, as well as some members of the public. At that meeting, it became evident that there was a desire to move forward with a potential detachment of BBID from the six tax rate areas located here in Discovery Bay. And it was determined at that time that for those six tax rate areas, that BBID is receiving approximately $685,000 for the current fiscal year. And by not receiving those funds, and they're not providing any services to the community other than a future potential water source that may or may not be necessary. Based upon that, I contacted John Fawcett with Ludorf and Scalmanini. They are a water engineering firm, and I've asked John to go ahead and put together an analysis as to whether or not that water source, that future water source, would ever be deemed necessary in Discovery Bay, and whether or not there was some value to us in that. John is going to go ahead and go through his presentation here in a moment. At the end of the presentation, there are some options that the board can take as you want to move this item forward. There is a proposed draft of a resolution that's attached to the report that this board would take an action on if you chose to do so, to support the detachment process and to move the process forward through both Contra Costa and San Joaquin County LAFCOs. You can direct us to come back for additional information. You can take input, continue the item to a later date, or another option, which is not really an option, but they always tell us in grad school to put this in is to do nothing. I don't think that's going to be the case this evening. Anyway, John, if you can go ahead and come to the podium. John has worked with us, as you all know, for a number of years, his firm, and has put together an engineering and a scientific analysis as to a future potential need for those source of waters. I'm getting there.
Okay.
So the title is the preliminary assessment, DBID as an alternative water supply source for automated groundwater supplies, like Rick indicated. It came about pretty fast. Rick called me just before Thanksgiving and said, hey, I need this assessment done. And I was sort of caught off guard by it. And he sort of summarized it pretty good when he indicated that Byron Bethany Irrigation District, to our surprise, was capable of providing an alternative source of water, in this case, irrigation water. We were unaware of it. So BBID, as Rick indicated, is a multi-county special district serving counties. I just want to show you a couple of figures here. You can't see it, I guess, very well, but in the small picture, here's Discovery Bay right here, and then the Byron Bethany BBID extends down here pretty far, but it covers, it borders Discovery Bay on the west. Here's a closer up picture of it. You can see the overlap areas there, and the issue here that's being discussed is should this overlapping detachment be eliminated and the associated tax issues that relate with this water service being provided, is it needed? So it's summarized pretty good by Mary, is it Peeful, County Supervisor. There's a formal request before the Contra Costa County Board of Supervisors to pursue the San Joaquin County LAFCO detachment of portions of the town of Discovery Bay from BBID because, and in quote, BBID is not, nor is it likely that Discovery Bay would need a water supply from BBID in the future. And that's when Rick called and indicated we'd like our opinion on that, given that we provide water engineering services for the town of Discovery Bay. So the town of Discovery Bay provides water, yet both BBID and the town receive payment for water service delivery. If detached BBID, revenue could be reallocated to other affected tax agencies. And so, like I indicated, on November 19th, town of Discovery Bay requested that we assess the town's water supply and the likelihood that the town will ever use BBID water. So our firm, Ludor Scalmanini, has done the 1999 and 2010 water master plans and 2010 urban water management plan. Recently, we did a 2015 update of the master plan, where we look at water supply, water quality opportunities, and opportunities for recycled water. These plans make no reference to a possible BBID water source supply. Again, we weren't even aware that BBID was available as a potential source of surface water, in this case, irrigation water. So the town of Discovery Bay relies on pumping groundwater for 100% of its customer water services demand. I'll get into that in a bit. In the update of our in the 2015 equivalent dwelling unit update, so basically an equivalent dwelling unit is like a household, you can think of it that way, where there's, we looked at the update addressed the change in build out between 7,161 equivalent dwelling units to 8,300, which includes Discovery Bay infill growth. There's some parts of Discovery Bay that can still be developed, plus planned developments including Pantages, Discovery Bay West, Sandy Cove, Evans, and Newport Point. So the question is how sustainable is the town of Discovery Bay's groundwater supply? So this is a typical well. The town of Discovery Bay has a schematic, obviously, but you have six wells currently, and there's 1, 2, 4, 5, 6, and 7. And typically it's just a well with a pump on the top, and in this case we treat that water at a water treatment plant, and it goes to the customers. And so we're taking groundwater, chlorinating it, and then delivering it to the users. So we have these six wells distributed throughout the town of Discovery Bay, and we have two central water treatment plants, the Willow Lake Road Water Treatment Plant and a Newport Drive water treatment plant here. So the wells pump water to these two water treatment plants, and then we tie into the water distribution system and deliver it to the city, to the town of Discovery Bay. So here's a graph. Interestingly, we work for a lot of different water districts, and with the drought, there's many water districts now that are facing big problems because groundwater levels are declining. The water level data is shown on this plot. We presented this before, but we did update it for this recent assessment of the EBID project. This, the shaded areas are drought conditions. And you look here, you say, well, if this is the water level, you'd sort of say, hey, it does look like it's generally declining. But if you look at it relative to the population and the water demand, it's not necessarily declining. In fact, what would be a sign if it was declining is if the water demand is on this blue line up here, and if this was declining, it would be still going down. And what it is, it's just stabilizing to a new condition of demand. That's what it's doing. And even during a drought, we're not seeing a lot of impacts to groundwater levels, which is, I think that the town of Discovery Bay is fortunate that the groundwater levels are staying pretty stable. So the town of Discovery Bay maintains well facilities to meet drinking water standards. Specifically, they have to have enough water supply wells. If one of them goes down, they can still meet their water supply. And so we have extra wells to meet the water supply demand. In 2014, because of the drought and other situations relating with groundwater levels going down in several areas of the state, and then combined with that was some settlement, the state acted, and the 2014 Sustainable Groundwater Act was promulgated. And so the town of Discovery Bay is in a groundwater basin called the Tracy Subbasin, and it's ranked by the state as a medium priority. In part, that relates with their understanding and recognition that water levels, groundwater levels, are fairly stable in this area. Here's what's called the Tracy Subbasin that the town of Discovery Bay is a part of. So the Sustainable Management Act requires that you look at groundwater levels, groundwater pumping, surface water supplies, total water use, change in groundwater storage. There has to be a water budget. How much groundwater is being recharged and how much is being used, and do those balance? And is the basin ultimately sustainable? So the master plan concludes that yield of groundwater appears stable for the current and the planned pumping horizon. Reliability of the water supply is obtained by continued groundwater monitoring and having sufficient backup supply wells in operation. So we routinely look at groundwater levels regularly and report that to the state. And again, they're stable. The basin is not adjudicated, meaning they don't have impacts, and the court had to step in and define who can pump what to control groundwater. Still pretty much unregulated in the sense that it's stable just based on water use by different pumpers in the area, whether it be water districts or irrigators or other uses. The town of Discovery Bay actively participates in the Sustainable Groundwater Management Act, and as with BBID, there's several interested parties in this whole region of the Tracy Subbasin that are all working together to better understand groundwater and to manage groundwater levels. Water quality is a different issue. The town of Discovery Bay's water quality is elevated in iron and manganese, requires treatment. It's also high in TDS. So one plus of using surface water is that the water quality is generally better than the groundwater quality in this area. Good engineering practice for a town of Discovery Bay considers the merits and costs associated with multiple sources of water supply available. especially if there's a potential for population growth and increased water demand, increased use of groundwater in the area, or climate change that results in less water being available for groundwater recharge and available for pumping. So what we're saying there is a water district for the reliability of water districts generally improved if they have multiple sources of water, groundwater and surface water. And so you can, if surface water is plentiful, you can use that. If not available, you can use groundwater. But there's a lot of factors that go into that, one of which is cost. And a lot of water districts don't do both because of cost. Ideally, if cost was not an issue, of course, you'd have multiple supply sources. Water quality benefits. I mentioned that surface water quality is provides some benefit. Well, why does it have a benefit? Again, and then the conventional thinking is like you want to use the highest water quality source available, but the caveat again is wherever practical and cost effective. The town of Discovery Bay have high salts, like I indicated, and the town of Discovery Bay should evaluate compare town of Discovery Bay groundwater quality to BVID irrigation water to assess water quality improvements that can be attained. So one thing that's seen here, for example, with the town of Discovery Bay, is because it is hard water, high TDS, etc., the individual homes will have home treatment units. Well, that requires the use of salt. All that salt goes down the drain, and that can present impacts to wastewater treatment plant discharge requirements. And that does occur for several for several towns and cities. And so sometimes there is merit to using the surface water supply for that reason. Oops. So if we are to consider the BVID tying assessment, there's a lot of information that we would be required to look at, which we don't have any information on. The BVID water quality and reliability, how much water is there? Is it reliable? Can you get it year round? What about the water quality? Is there seasonal effects of that? And then this is a big one, bullet number three, and I'll talk about that more. It's like, what's the implications if we were to use BVID in terms of surface water treatment requirements? And then going back to my picture I presented earlier where you have a centralized groundwater system of pumping from two locations, if all of a sudden now you're gonna look at surface water treatment and pumping from one spot instead of two, there's going to have to be changes to your water distribution system and your piping because it's a different hydraulic situation. So again, quantity, how much water is available? Could they provide it in emergency only or is it available at all times? What factors impact the availability of BVID water now or in the future? And what are the current projected costs for the water? None of that's really known. Water quality, again, what is it? What factors is affected seasonally? Water quality is. Water treatment, since BVID is non-potable, in irrigation water, the district's going to have to treat the domestic surface water treatment standards. And that's an expensive proposition. And that's what prohibits a lot of water districts from using surface water, is just the cost to treat. So if you can almost dismiss the BVID source supply out of hand if they only have enough water for emergency supply only, which it's like we wouldn't even consider it unless it was a source that could be provided in sufficient quantity to use other than for an emergency situation. So tying the distribution, like I said, there's an 18-inch line is our understanding about it. Presumably we could tie into it on the west side of town of Discovery Bay. Pursuing a time would require design and construction of surface water treatment, possible redesign of the water distribution system, like I said, in reference to the two central groundwater treatment systems that now become potentially one. So, preliminary assessment. Town of Discovery Bay's current projected water need is planned to be met by groundwater pumping. Our water master plans that we developed are all planning on using groundwater. We've identified the groundwater level as stable, and the BWR recognizes it as stable. Our assessment of the stability, that's consistent with our assessment of the stability and reliability of the basin based on our water level data. And so our red conclusion there is having a BVID irrigation water supply source is not needed for meeting the town of Discovery Bay water demand through the full build-out horizon, which is through year 2023. So that's an overview. I kind of race through it, but I think it's fairly straightforward. Yeah.
Race through it.
Any comment, discussion?
Just one, I don't know if it's a comment or a question. Based on your conclusion there, the groundwater supply for the town of Discovery Bay is sustainable through build out, and unless there's some unforeseeable emergency, right, we wouldn't need another supply.
That's right. And so SGMA, the Sustainability Act, it actually requires a 50-year look ahead. And by that, they're saying, okay, what are the water levels? Who's pumping how much, and what are the water levels at? And if they see a change significantly, there's going to be action to stop pumping. They have to look at recharge. They want it. The goal is to actually manage the basin. And people like the town of Discovery Bay will be high priority since your source of drinking water is only groundwater. And so you have a sort of a built-in protection with this Sustainability Act. But anything's possible in terms of, imagine a lot of droughts, more and more people relying on groundwater. If you have more and more demand for water, people build homes around this area. You know, it is something that you have to be aware of and always be thinking of alternative source supplies anyway.
So, but the support, the supply from DBID, if it is quality and can't be transmitted here, is an insurance policy.
Right. But once, it should be recognized too that we work for other water districts as well. So if the town of Discovery Bay was interested in surface water supplies, there's other supplies too to consider besides BBID. You have CC's Contra Costa Irrigation Water District and then Contra Costa Water District, and then even East Bay Mud has some ability to serve. And there's always the option for a town of Discovery Bay to consider purchase their own surface water supply. So there's a lot of options that you look at. You're not necessarily married to BBID.
Thank you.
I think the answer is quite, I had the same kind of questions. You had mentioned that it appears that we have, you know, sustainable groundwater supply to fill up in 2023. I think my question was, well, how long after that? Well, you're saying at 2023, there's still 50 years worth of water based on today's knowledge.
Well, which I didn't want to imply that. I'm saying that they require a look ahead at 50 years and a management plan be in place to ensure stability. And that's something that didn't exist a while back. And so, say we get no more rain and conditions change a lot and demand, we can't get down lower, it's always some possibility that there could be issues. And in the future, the thinking is that we're going to have this conjunctive use. Say groundwater supplies are strong in Discovery Bay and there's no surface water in another location, this Management Act could lead to sharing groundwater in exchange for surface water. There could be all kinds of exchanges and planning that's going to be needed to actually make it all work for everybody.
Right. At this current time, the future for town Discovery Bay, we have adequate water supplies at this
point. We will full build up through 2023, and it's going to be managed beyond that.
And the other question I had is on the filtration of, you mentioned surface water versus groundwater. Surface water is a little more difficult to treat. Is that what I mean?
Generally, it is, and more costly.
So it costs more to treat surface water. Thank you.
I guess.
For clarification, John, there is no way that BBID could be an emergency supplier for us because we don't have a facility. They provide raw water, and we don't have a facility that can process raw water. So they're not an emergency
right.
source for us.
Yeah.
Right.
Nor a sustainable source for us.
Without water treatment, it's really not much of an emergency. And then if it's just an emergency, to scale up surface water treatment just for an emergency supply is probably not feasible. You'd want to use that if it can offset water quality issues at your wastewater treatment plant or some other benefit that you can take advantage of.
Well, and you don't build a water treatment plant overnight, so for it to be an emergency source doesn't really make sense.
It does not.
Okay.
Not without treatment.
That's all. I have a couple other points I want to make, but I think that's all I have for John right now. Let's see that.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Chris,
thank
you. Can I make a couple of
points?
I have a couple of comments I just want to make overall. First of all, there are sections of Discovery Bay which pay into the tax structure for BBID, not the entire district. So even if you wanted to consider an insurance policy, it's only going to cover a very small part of Discovery Bay, not all of Discovery Bay would benefit from water from BBID. So that makes it even less likely. And it's less than 50, I don't even know, probably about 30%, not even, is being covered by BBID at this point. The overlap is on paper only. There's no infrastructure that BBID owns within the boundaries of Discovery Bay. It's just a paper tax that we've been paying for absolutely nothing. No pipes, no distribution system, no nothing. There's nothing there. It's strictly paper. The BBID is an irrigation district and not a municipal water supplier. That's why it would only be raw water that we would get from them. The Discovery Bay West residents have paid millions of tax dollars into the district that they've gotten no services back from. Both Rick Gilmore and Rick Howard have stated there's nothing that would indicate that BBID would or could be a backup emergency water source. We discussed that at the meeting that we had with the county. And if we were to move forward with it, or if the county was to move forward, I have to be clear, we have no ability to make anything happen here except represent our constituents. And if the district were to move forward with a detachment, BBID would still border us exactly as they do now with no infrastructure in place. So there's no reason why we couldn't use that as a water source in the future without paying $700,000 a year to them on the chance that we might want to use it. So I really would encourage the board to look forward to a detachment from that and maybe have a better source of use for a better use of that, of those funds that would benefit our constituents and the town of Discovery Bay.
Any other comment discussion? Any public comment? Okay, I see one. If you please come to the podium, use the microphone.
Thank you, Mr. President, and members of the board. And thank you, gentlemen, for coming out to the BBID meeting last week. We appreciate the support there, as well as I know there's some residents here that were in attendance, and we appreciate that. We kind of bird-dogging this for a year and a half, and sort of got some deaf ears there for a while, and we all appreciate the picking up the ball and kind of getting people quite honestly to do their job. The overlap that's in question or in debate serves only one purpose, and that is for BBID to collect tax revenue out of Discovery Bay and use it elsewhere within their district. Keep in mind the boundary that was shown earlier, they are largely in San Joaquin County with a small portion in Alameda. So what you effectively have is $685,000 coming out of Discovery Bay. You get no services in return. That money goes into San Joaquin County, largely subsidizing cheap ag water, subsidizing some of the water delivery to Mountain House, by the way, and any other service or operational costs that they have within BBID. So we get nothing for something that's being called an emergency water supply, which I've seen no formal agreement between BBID and the Community Services District for this emergency water supply. I believe when you gentlemen were there in the meeting, it was acknowledged that the agreement BBID is talking about was with Hoffman Company. I don't think that has anything put anything binding on you folks here. So the agreement that they're referring to doesn't even apply to this services district. In terms of the insurance policy angle, God, the mafia wouldn't rip you off that bad. I mean, let's be honest here. $685,000 for an insurance policy? Where does that fly in anybody's mind? I mean, that's, it's not serious. Director Graves covered a bunch of good points. It was mentioned also in that meeting, in the event that you did, for whatever reason, wanted a contract with these folks for service water delivery, by Mr. Gilmore's own estimation, just, you know, see the account number that day in the meeting, it was a $500 million treatment plant proposal. So if you're going to leave this illusion of an insurance policy or potential emergency connection, you're putting the residents of this district on the hook for potentially a $500 million treatment plant. So I don't think you really want to leave that appearance there. Also keep in mind that DBID is currently being sued by the state to the tune of, I believe it's $1.25 million for overdraw. So they've taken more water than the state is allowing them to take. So where are they going to get the extra water to deliver here? Nobody can seem to come up with a logical explanation for that. As Director Graves points out, redrawing the line simply recaptures the money, allows us to, as the supervisor has proposed, transfer to our ailing fire district here. That is, I think, a responsible thing to do, a responsible consideration in your proposal, if you could even perhaps encourage that. And why do I suggest that? Because in 2017, there's a train coming down the track and it's going to run you over. If you look at the budget issues within the fire district, it tails off in 2017. We're not going to have the three stations we have today, which is barely keeping us alive. It's going to degrade to something less than that. And the first station's at risk of going is the remaining Discovery Bay station. So if you can lend some financial aid by proxy with this, perhaps direct, get the funds, help the funds get directed to the fire district and help your own interests in a couple of short years here. So I appreciate your support on the supported detachment to include the recommendation of transferring the money to the fire district to help them plus. Thank you very much.
Any other public comment?
Thank you.
Elon Ziegler with the Lakeshore. 5 years ago, when I was on the board, I got a ballot to vote for a director on DBID, and I basically said to myself, what is this about? I found out from Bob Campbell, a few other people at Tony, Dave Lennon, who was at that time President of Hoffman, and in discussion with Mr. Gilmore, that yes, we are paying or reallocating money from Lakeshore. That's what I was looking at that time. And the amount's about $200,000 just from Lakeshore a year.
We didn't do it.
I asked BBID, since we're in their service area, could we use their water for irrigating our common areas and like trees and our expansive brown lawns? And basically the response was, we wouldn't really encourage that. It might have cost some money to do, which BBID did not seem willing to pay for, to get the thing across the street from the pipe that exists into our area. And also they didn't want to pay for the filtration that would be needed in order to get their quality of, their poor quality irrigation water up to standards that would be good to, you know, quality to water our grass. So that take, is a comment on the point of the quality of their water. They couldn't do it then, they can't do it now, they won't ever be able to do it. I encourage you to immediately, 20 years late, obviously, but immediately agree to this detachment or purge this detachment so that we can get on with this other business at hand of where the money would go and so on. So it certainly is doing us residents in Lakeshore and the rest of Discovery Bay West no good right now. Thank you very much.
Any other public comment? Seeing no other person, we'll close public comment for the discussion.
Yeah, I just want to make one point. You guys, I was out on the East Coast when the meeting occurred, and I know that some of you guys went to the meeting, and I think their board of directors, from what I understand, made some comments about how we were hastily running into the situation, and that there needs to be, we need to step back and take time and review and these other things. And I just want to point out that I have a determination here that was published in 1993. And factor four here talks about the separation of what would at the time was called, was it, Rick, the Albers Boundary Reorganization. I guess that was the Albers property over there at one particular time. And this was between San 19, because this is before we were a town, this is between San 19 and LAFCO made a finding, and it states it as such. This SOI, this is a sphere of influence extension, is requested concurrently with the review and determination of the related reorganization consisting of annexation of affected territory to San 19, and that would be those areas that we're talking about in Discovery Bay West, and concurrent detachment from the Byron Bethany Irrigation District. They were directed to do this in 1993, and it just never happened. This isn't something that is all of a sudden. LAFCO did the research on it back then. Obviously, LAFCO is going to have to do the research on it now again to make sure that their records are updated and that everything can happen. But the fact is this should have happened in 1993 as directed by LAFCO, and nobody really knows why it didn't happen, but it's not something we're rushing into. This is something that's long overdue, and as Mr. Mencken mentioned, some of us have been pushing this along a little bit. We first had discussions at least 18, 20 months ago with constituents about this situation, and it has taken a while to get to this point, but I would encourage the board to move forward with a resolution tonight that would, in fact, show our support towards that detachment. It's a very simple resolution, and it's just because we don't have the power to make it happen, but we do have the power to give an opinion, and that's what I would encourage the board to do tonight.
I guess I'd like to make a motion that the town of Discovery Bay move forward supporting the detachment of the BBID area from the area within the town of Discovery Bay, and that we notify each of the parties, the county is the last of those BBID, that we have taken this action, and we look forward to working with those parties to move the process forward for that detachment.
My second.
Yeah, may I suggest that we approve the resolution is part of our packet that has been drawn up.
It's on page 54.
Yeah.
Okay.
I accept that.
Okay. Page 57. I'm sorry.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Moving on to item two, approve and adopt the certification of County Discovery Emergency Operations Plan. General Manager.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. I'm bringing back to you this evening the town's emergency operation plan. As you recall, you received some training from Russ Patterson, our consultant for emergency operations, putting our plan in place. Russ conducted trainings with not only the board but also the staff, and part of that and part of his work effort was to put in place an emergency operations plan that is consistent with both Cal OES and FEMA requirements, so that in the event of a declared disaster, either it be state disaster or federal disaster, the town would be eligible for assistance as well as reimbursement funding. Tonight's action would essentially adopt the emergency operations plan by certifying that it is indeed SEMS compliant, which is standard emergency management systems compliant. And moving forward, that we would utilize that in the event that the town had emergencies that we need to address. And this POP, I just want to make sure everybody understands, is only covers our assets, our facilities, our equipment, our buildings, that sort of thing. The county has in place an emergency operations plan that deals with the residents in the event of disaster. They have all the connections with the American Red Cross, with the Racy's radio systems operators. So this plan is essentially an in-house plan that deals with our assets, our facilities, in the event of a declared emergency and where we would suffer any damages.
time coming, Rick. Good job. I think it's a wise thing to do.
Well, with an El Nino coming, we definitely need to have it in place.
Any other discussion? Any public comment? No public comment.
Move staff recommendation.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Moving on, any informational items? Any director's comments?
No, we have a fire district meeting coming up on Monday, which will be interesting.
Monday fire district?
Yeah.
Okay. Manager's reports?
Not necessarily a report, but I would like to get your calendars out, if you will. I'd like to schedule our annual workshop coming up early part of next year. Looking probably in later January or 1st of February. So,
first of February last year.
Yeah, February 6th possibly is a Saturday morning date.
Is it too hard to do it? Can't do it the first weekend of the month.
It just requires a lot of planning through the holidays and everything else. There's a lot of work that goes into it.
What is the course best for you?
The 23rd does not work at all for the staff. The 30th would work. The 16th would work.
Where are you?
January.
So you don't think I'm out of town the 23rd. What the hell is your
time on a Saturday? Oh, because people work, so. Hang on.
19th is 26th. It's a
bad. January 30th.
When's the state of the town? Is that February?
It's
this year.
I haven't seen a notice.
February 6th.
February 6th. Okay.
Yeah.
We don't want to do it then.
Yeah, I'll do this. February 6th is where we're trying to. Do you want to do it before or after that?
Kevin's not here on the 6th. All right.
January 30th, February.
Let's do it. Can you do it by January 30th?
Yeah. Okay. So we can do January 30th.
Is there football or something special? Don't worry about
it. It's actually the weekend off between football, so
it's
the weekend between the championship game and the Super Bowl. Right. Yeah, the 6th is the Super Bowl.
Let's go to priority.
7th Super Bowl, that's right.
7th is the Super Bowl.
I think they're doing it on a Saturday in the first place.
Let's try that day.
You guys doing it on a Saturday.
We always do.
Any other questions or comments?
Nope, not this evening. Thank you.
Go ahead, Kevin.
Nope, good. Thanks for the support.
Thank you.
All right, and then council, any updates?
Nothing for me tonight. Happy holidays.
Thank you. Any subcommittee updates? Meeting coming up in December. Everybody's having their end of the year meetings. Okay. Any correspondence? Public records requests? Good. Any future agenda items?
This may not be a future agenda item, but I think it's something that we want to talk about. It means that we're going to move a resolution forward for this detachment. And there's lots of money involved, long-term kind of thing. I think that the board should have a committee to kind of monitor, be able to be in the loop, keep the board in the loop on how LAF goes or processing, et cetera, et cetera. Because it's funding, I would think that it would fall with the finance committee.
And we already vote for a LAFCO representative right now.
Right.
And
but it's going to be LAFCO in San Joaquin County, DDIDs. There's a whole bunch of them. So I think it's important enough that because it's money that the town really wants to keep an eye on. Board needs to be involved, I think, in some discussions or at least updates regularly to monitor how things are going on.
Information only in every meeting? Okay. Well, we can have a future item. Sounds good. Any future other items? All right, we'll adjourn this meeting. Thank you.